You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow.
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it to you.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
Hello.
This is the movie show.
Yeah, you know what I'm about to say. Say it. Let's all say it together. O-R-S-E-S.
So glad I didn't say anything because I was about to be like, active FM. I was like, yeah, no, you so would have stuffed that up.
What an assumption. I assumed that everybody thought, well, I suppose you can go either way.
Right.
Right.
You really could go either way. Yeah, so this is Active FM. We are the movie show. I am Sash. He's
and
myself.
My name. I'm not going to assume that you know my name. Mm-hmm. So my name is Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Ryan.
Thank you. Hello.
So we're doing a film review today on the latest live action Disney remake, which came out just now in May. Just then in May.
Right.
Right. Just like a few days ago. Yes.
Early on.
In 2021, this film has been in talk and production for a long time. Like, I remember hearing about this film. It was either 2018 or 2019. I remember hearing that Disney was doing it, and I remember hearing that Emma Stone was the main actress. But for this film to come out, it took them a while. Obviously, the COVID pandemic was one of the reasons that it was pushed back.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So the budget and box office for the film, budgets was 100 to 200 million. So in other words, they don't know if they spent 100 million or if they spent 200 million. I don't know, Ryan. I feel like that's a very big difference to not know whether, you know, like what did we spend? It was somewhere, you know, between 100 and 200 million. The exact figure. We're not quite sure. In production, we kind of got like a little bit spending happy. So
roughly roundabout.
We're hoping it's closer to the one. Like, how can you say 100 to 200 million? This is bad accountancy, man. They need to fire their accountants and get new ones.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe they did get fired.
So yeah, we don't know what the budget was. It was somewhere between 100 and 200 million US dollars. Box office, this is sad. This is really sad. Okay.
Very bad.
Obviously the film has just come out, but the box office for this film is 42.6 million. So they didn't even make half of the 100 if they only spent 100 million US dollars. Now I actually looked into why this was the case. So this came out the same weekend. Cruella came out the same weekend as A Quiet Place 2. So the two films came out on the same weekend. Obviously now people have to decide, are we going to go see A Quiet Place 2 or are we going to go see Cruella? Because most people don't go to cinemas twice in a weekend, right? So there was a choice that had to be made. And they did say that it was Memorial Day in America, that the Memorial Day weekend saw one of box office best performances since the COVID-19 pandemic began. So cinemas have obviously had it really hard. Well, yeah, because of the whole COVID pandemic. So finances and income and all of that and profits have been low. But this weekend where A Quiet Place and Cruella came out was actually the best weekend that they've had since the COVID-19 pandemic. Both films earned the number one spot and the number two spot. However, Cruella did not get the number one spot. It got the number two spot. The two films represent two different release approaches as theaters start the journey back to pre-COVID normalcy. And despite its R rating, now get this. So A Quiet Place 2 had an R rating. Cruella had a PG-13 rating. So from a rating perspective, Cruella technically is the friendlier film, if you understand what I'm saying. And yet it didn't do as well as A Quiet Place 2. A Quiet Place 2 beat it. This victory is due to a number of factors, including, and this was one of the reasons, Cruella not only was released in cinemas, but it was also released on Disney Plus, the streaming platform. So if you have Premier Access, they call it Premier Access, it's kind of like just their top subscription thing that they have, then you would have been able to watch Cruella on Disney Plus. And I think there were people that were like, nah, let's not go to the cinemas. You know, I'm already paying $30 a month for Disney Plus. I might as well just sit in my comfortable lounge, make popcorn in the kitchen and watch Cruella on my TV.
I wonder how they work out the costs for those streaming, because surely that does contribute towards...
Not box office. It won't contribute towards
box office.
Yeah.
That's the
streaming platform.
I think of the box, you know, where you pay for your tickets.
Exactly.
When you go to the theater, that's box office.
It's a box. That's an office.
That's the office.
Of the box.
It's a box.
You buy that your you give your money there, to.
Because that's where the money happens. That's why right. They call it box office.
So that is one of the... That is what happened. One of the reasons was... But personally... I didn't watch Cruella in cinemas. I didn't want to watch Cruella in cinemas. I want to watch A Quiet Place 2 in cinemas. Like it is, I want to go to the cinemas and watch A Quiet Place 2 there. Cause I just feel like that film in a theater would be, I remember I didn't watch the first one in theaters. We watched it later at home in the lounge where our sound system is good, but it's not a theater sound system.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And I remember thinking to myself, imagine watching this in theaters. You would have been like on the edge of your seat. Imagine the sound or the lack of sound. So I want to go watch it for the experience in theaters.
Is it released this side in South Africa yet?
I don't know, actually. Let me go look. I was wondering that the other day. I was like, I wonder if it's out yet. But in America it has. And it's actually quite cool because John Krasinski, he's the director of it. He's been going around to the different, not premieres. So obviously you get a film premiere where you have all the actors and the director and et cetera, the fancy people, if I can put it like that. And then you have just normal people going to a normal cinema. He's been going around to cinemas and actually been speaking and introducing the film and taking pictures with people who have gone to watch the film.
Serious?
Yeah. And in fact, there was one cinema, which was where the first film, the first A Quiet Place, that was premiered at that specific theater when he went to that one. So it wasn't premiered there this time, but when he went to that one, J.J. Abrams, who is the director of a lot of the Star Wars films.
Star Wars, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the film that we did, which
the
one was
Super,
it?
Super 8.
Super 8, yeah.
He actually interviewed John Krasinski.
He interviewed him?
Yes, he interviewed John Krasinski before the start of A Quiet Place 2 at that. So literally normal, so it's like me and you just going to the cinema, right, to watch it. And next minute, J.J. Abrams and John Krasinski walk out, grab a mic, and there they are speaking. But that's literally what happened. How cool is that? Like,
wow.
Can John Krasinski please come do that in South Africa? Like, that would be so cool. But J.J. Abrams actually said that John Krasinski is on the level of Steven Spielberg. I mean, imagine being interviewed by J.J. Abrams. Like, as a director, that is like...
Well,
you've made it.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams and Steven Spielberg are like work colleagues, buddies, mentor, you know, so that's like, yeah.
You have seriously
that is
made
huge.
It, right? So, yeah, that's
what I say, say hi to Steven
Steve,
for me,
Steve
you?
For me, yeah.
I mean, he doesn't know who I am. Will you introduce him? Yeah, take a photo. Give me your phone. Okay, tell him
Smile.
That is Ryan from the movie show. And, yeah. See you later.
Sorry, that was just Ryan in a fantasy world meeting J.J. Abrams there.
Yep.
Now, as you can see, we are discussing A Quiet Place 2, which we have not watched, and we are doing a Cruella film review.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, should we stay there? So, tell me, Sashi, what are your expectations for A Quiet Place 2?
I'm
we're
so
really
excited.
We really can talk about this. We really
right?
can.
Right? No, you are definitely getting a Quiet Place 2 film review in a few weeks. And Ryan, have you been to cinemas since COVID?
Since lockdown, nope.
Ryan, you need to go to cinemas and you need to go watch A Quiet Place 2.
I've got my home theater. It's my Sony earphones.
No, but for the experience,
15-inch Mac.
They have a way bigger screen than your 15-inch Mac screen, right?
Well, you know, when you hold it quite close, it's roughly about the same size.
Ryan, just go for the experience of theater.
Okay. A Quiet Place will be my first movie to watch at a theater since lockdown.
Because John Krasinski actually postponed the release of it. It was ready.
So that
it was ready in 2020, but he didn't want to release it without being, he didn't want to do it on like streaming platforms. He wanted people to be able to go and experience it in cinemas. So if the director wants you to experience it in cinemas, you go and experience it in cinemas, right?
Sounds good.
Okay, back to Cruella.
Oh yeah, Cruella.
I feel like this film is a disappointment. I honestly feel, I was actually looking forward to it. I was like, okay, cool. That sounds cool. And I was looking forward to Emma Stone's acting because she's a very good actor. Her acting was good. The problem I have with this film is how blatantly evil it is. Like, this film is just like, yeah, blatantly. I must be honest, Disney is on a, they are on a mission to make evil, evil movies. I just feel like they're on a mission to make evil movies. Do you know that they also have, so there's Disney Plus, the streaming sites. They're bringing out, I think it's a short film. It's not a series. I think it's a short film. It's called Little Prince, but then in brackets at the end of Prince, they've got two S's, right? Now, what the whole story is about is I'm based on the trailer. So it's Chinese, but it's based in, I think it is China, set in China or somewhere in Asia. And it's a little boy who plays basketball and he gets hurt. And you see he gets like, the wound gets wrapped up, et cetera, et cetera. And then he meets another little boy and that little boy is a ballerina. So he does ballet. And then the two of them become friends and he now wants to give up basketball to go and do ballet. But the dad's like, no, you're not a girl. You can't do ballet type of thing. Now, there's nothing wrong with male ballerinas. We all know that you get male ballerinas, right? The problem is this little boy is not, it's almost like he wants to take the female part of the, do you understand? Cause now he wants to dress in pink. Yep. And obviously it's going to be one of these, you know, how his father didn't accept him. And then at the end of the film, his father accepts him and goes to the ballet concert. And it's going to be one of those films, right? So this is like blatantly bringing in the whole LGBT thing into now Disney Plus. So I just feel like Disney is on a roll to just, yeah, they've got a mission. And Cruella, they were blatant. There wasn't even anything hidden about it. Like, obviously Cruella Deville, but they put a big emphasis on Devil. Like, they put a big emphasis. Obviously Cruella Deville stays in Hell Hall. And at the end of the film, you see her take the mansion that she gets and changes it from, what was it? Hell?
I was also trying to figure that out.
That was the surname.
When I saw that, I was like, wait, what did she remove?
Oh, it was Hellman Hall. That was Hellman Hall. She obviously removed the M-A-N to make it Hell Hall. But literally, and then there was also a Rolling Stones song that was used, which literally has the words Jesus Christ in it. So, I mean, that song in itself is extremely blasphemous. And yeah, I feel like in the beginning, they almost catch you where you're like, oh, okay, this is, you know, she's going to choose to do the right thing type of thing. It was like an evil person going against another evil person. Like that was literally the storyline. So for me, I was disappointed from a storyline perspective because the acting, I have to give it to them. The acting was really good, both from Emma Stone and Emma Thompson.
I had no idea that, Emma Stone is American.
She's good with her British accent, right?
That was brilliant.
Her accent was so good.
And she had to pull off two type of British accents, the sort of, you know, streets accent, and then as well as the proper English accent. And there were some characters in here that I thought were hilarious because they really pulled that like royal, like English, you know, the way certain words, even, Emma Thompson, like there was some English, like, the way that it was spoken in this movie, just like, wow, sure. The way it was the pronunciation and the way that they played the words, I was just like, sure.
No, the acting was very, very good, both from Emma Stone and from Emma Thompson. I must be honest, I've never seen Emma Thompson in a role like this. If you don't know who Emma Thompson is, she's Nanny McPhee. She was in the latest Men in Black International. I mean, we all know Emma Thompson. She's been around for ages, acting for ages. But honestly, she really did this role well. I think I saw a film review that said she's one of Disney's best villains. And she really is. You hate her. You're scared of her. You don't understand her. She's like this calm villain. But she was very, very, very good. I think she did very well in this role. But speaking about the director, the director's name is a man named Craig Gillespie. Do you know who this guy is, right? No, you don't, right?
Wait. I was trying to... Well, I do know that he's Australian.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. He's also a television, music, video, and commercial director.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? He is best known for his films, Lars. I don't know what that is.
I haven't watched that.
Real Girl. Don't know what that is. Friday Night. Heard something rings a bell there. Oh, here's a good movie. I.
No, it's not called I. It's called, okay, this movie I've watched, it's called I, Tonya. So the whole film is about a skater. It's actually based on a true story. There was a figure skater, I think in the 80s, she wanted to go to the Olympics, and it's her life story. But she came from a rough background, and there was a whole scandal that where her husband was involved in orchestrating one of the other figure skaters were attacked and injured so that she couldn't. And there was this whole scandal. And she eventually wasn't allowed to ever compete in a figure skating competition. She then went to wrestling. And so there's this whole story, but it's quite a dark film, and it's quite a sad story. And I remember watching it and just thinking, oh my gosh, this is like really, it's not. This, I haven't watched his other films. Obviously, I've watched Cruella now and I've watched I, Tonya, but he's got a dark streak to him. That's based on the two films that I have watched that he's made. He's got this, like, when I saw, I didn't know he directed it until after I watched it. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, that makes sense. That actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I, Tonya wasn't as, I wouldn't recommend you go and watch it. It wasn't like that was such a good film.
Really?
It was quite hectic. You feel bad for it at the end, because I wouldn't say she got a happy ending. Like, you know, these sports films, often it's like someone came out of nowhere. They had nothing going for them. They were against, the whole world was against them. They've met this coach that made them train really, really, really hard. And then, you know, like the average Rocky film. This was not one of those films.
Oh my goodness. It was okay.
Definitely not one of those films. Yeah. So I think that's one of the reasons it did have quite of a dark side. But I also feel like Disney hired him because they were like, this guy can do what we want done. Yeah. You know what I don't understand? So obviously it's the second time now that they've made a live action film of a villain, because Cruella is the villain in 101 Dalmatians. The previous time they did it was in Maleficent with Angelina Jolie. I don't feel, for me, they changed the story of Maleficent so that she, in Maleficent, she wasn't the villain. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You could see she did go to like a dark side, but by the end of it, like, she wasn't the villain. Whereas in this one, it was like, she was, so there was Cruella, who was the villain, then there was the Baroness, who was also the villain, and it was two villains going against each other, and in the end, Cruella won, but then she just became the ultimate villain. Do you understand what I'm saying?
It's a, what do they call it? It's a, where they like literally establish, it's the
like
origins.
A backstory, it's like an origin story.
Of Cruella. So yeah. It was like, okay, so that's where, so in other words, her big life problem solved, and then she goes back to being bad.
Exactly.
It's like, it's nice to be bad.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the very thing she hated the Baroness for, she's kind of doing herself.
I mean, in the end, she wasn't angry anymore.
Yeah.
It was like, victory. I'm a bad person. I'm doing
exactly.
Well.
do you understand? Like, I think the movie was going well, and then the ending just was not good, because they literally, in the end, it was like she had to choose between being good and being bad. And she chose being bad, and they glorified her being bad. That's what I felt like they did, which they didn't do in Maleficent. They in the end, Maleficent actually chose. They changed the story of Sleeping Beauty. I mean, according to the original cartoon, what happened in Maleficent isn't what happened in the cartoon. She was the villain. But in Maleficent, they actually changed. And then obviously they brought out Maleficent 2, which even more showed how she chose to do the right thing. Even though there were people that were maybe doing wrong to her, she chose to do the right thing. In Cruella, she chose to do the bad thing. She chose to be bad. That was it.
And she liked it.
Yeah. So
it was like a cool thing.
Yeah. And I feel like they could have, yeah, you wanted to watch it, but at the same time, you felt sorry for her, but then you were also like, but look what you're turning into. Like, even with the two guys, with Jasper and Horace, like, they, I was like, why are you guys helping her? She's not worthy of her. Do you understand what I'm saying? She's, it's not like she's treating you nicely or, yeah. So I just feel like it was a disappointment from that perspective. Yeah. It really, yeah. Do you know, so the guy that played Horace, so you know, there were the two guys. He was the one that had the dog wink. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I'm looking at my actors.
So the one that played Jasper was the, he had more sense type of thing. He was the one that you sort of got the impression that he kind of liked Estelle.
You're talking about Jasper.
Yes. There's the other one, Horace. Now that he was played by Paul Walter Hauser, and he actually has acted in another of Craig's films. I was going to attempt his surname and it just wasn't going to come. I was like, okay, skip the surname. But he was in the film I, Tonya. And I didn't click it until I read this fact. He was in I, Tonya, that guy, he's messed up. He's actually one of the reasons he caused her career to basically go. Yeah. Cause he was hired by her husband to sort of deal with the other figure skater, if you understand what I'm saying. But then he went and was dramatic and hired these other people and kind of stuffed up everything. But he had a weird character. He kind of felt like he was in an FBI movie the whole time and he could just talk his way out of things. That's the type of character that he had in I, Tonya. In this one, he was a lot more likable. His character was a lot more likable. So I remember when watching I, Tonya, you hate him. You're like, off this guy. But in this one, you like him as a character. So I clicked the relation that he had with the director previously. So do you know that Glenn Close, who she played Cruella in the live action 101 Dalmatians. You know who I'm, she was still got the cake. Do you remember the live action 101 Dalmatians? It was made in 96.
Yeah, no.
You don't remember it? No. I remember it. No. She still got a cake. She went through a cake factory and at the end of the film, she came out as a giant cake.
Serious?
Yeah. You didn't watch it?
No, I don't think so.
I feel like if you saw her face.
It feels so far away, I'm just like, where?
Yeah. So she was an executive producer on this film. So she played Cruella in the live action 101 Dalmatians. And she was a producer on this film. Also, there was a popular myth that Emma Stone dislocated her shoulder at a Spice Girls concert in London, where she fell off her friend's shoulder in June 2019. And as a result, production was delayed. But she later explained that it was actually the night before the Spice Girls concert. She was running in boots on a wood floor, slipped and broke her shoulder in two places. She went to the concert with her arm in a sling and didn't go for an x-ray until the next day. And so filming was delayed because she had to go to physical therapy. So the filming, I suppose, like I said in the beginning, this film was like, they announced it, and then you, like, waited for it, and it only came out in 2021.
Spice Girls concert.
She went to a Spice Girls. She loves Spice Girls, apparently.
Okay.
She actually, I was watching an interview where they were speaking about her British accent. This isn't the first time she's done a British accent. She actually did it very well.
I really thought she was British, eh?
No.
I honestly do.
That's her British accent is proper, but they also said maybe it is her love for the Spice Girls that also, you know, helped her along with her British accent. Yeah. She's even in a video where it's her and three other girls and they're singing to a Spice Girls song. Like, she's a serious Spice Girls groupie. So yeah, that is what happened. That's one of the reasons filming was delayed. Also, the sound of the trunk horn when Cruella honks at the jail is the same sound as her car horn in the cartoon. I thought that was cool that they did that. I wonder where they got, like, do they have archive? They must have the original. That is so cool. The original, like, archive.
Somewhere on a server, right? Sitting at Disney.
Like, someone gave me Cruella's car horn. From where? From the no version. Okay. Then they went to go.
I don't like it. Get me the original. What about this one? Gawk, gawk.
Perfect. Yes. Let's go with that. And then, despite being an English character, Cruella de Vil has never been portrayed by an English actress in any of her live action incarnations. So whenever she's being played in live in an live action film, it hasn't been a British actor doing it.
When we say live action, we're talking
non-cartoon.
About, yeah. That is interesting.
Right.
Really, yeah.
So the 96 version of 101 Dalmatians, she wasn't, it wasn't a British actor. I can't even remember if she put on a British accent. She might
I
have.
I think I hear her voice now. Yeah, I don't hear the British.
I don't think she did.
Why would?
Not in the original cartoon.
I think I can understand why they made it British, because it's that prim, proper, and British.
No, but it was
well.
Also based, the character Cruella de Vil is a British character, because the whole film's based in the UK.
But do you think this whole background here comes out of the original
yes.
character?
Yes, original
really, yeah?
character, yeah.
Where she adopted mother, killed,
so this is
angry,
the story.
She thought
do you
it was
know
her.
That, you know, so 101 Dalmatians, it has Anita and I can't remember the guy's name now, but you know that they get married and then they have dogs. They meet
yeah.
because their dogs. That,
the dogs,
yeah,
yes, I remember
set
that.
Set them up.
Cartoon, right? Well, cartoon
yeah,
and live
the
action.
The cartoon, yeah. And then that's how the whole story then starts. And then obviously she wants the dogs for the coat and steals the puppies, et cetera, et cetera. But do you know that Anita was in this film? She was the reporter. And
wait,
Cruella
Anita's,
still goes to
Anita
and says, Anita,
the,
darling.
Anita is the...
The she has the Dalmatian,
all right.
the female Dalmatian.
Got you.
Yes. So she was the, you know, the reporter that Cruella goes to say, I want you to, like, get Cruella in the newspapers and all of that.
Yes.
That is Anita.
But...
Yes.
Serious.
So that's Anita. And one interesting thing is, so... You know, in the, it was in the cartoon and it was in this one. She calls her Anita Darling, right? Now, Anita's surname changed when she married her husband, who I can't remember his name now, but so obviously her surname would have changed. What they're saying in this film is her surname, her maiden surname was Darling. So it wasn't that Cruella was saying Anita, and then you know how sometimes you call someone darling.
Dog. Yeah.
It wasn't. It was actually her saying
name.
Anita Darling. And, you know, I think also in the cartoon, she said that it was an old friend. She said Cruella was an old friend. Obviously, he had proofs that they went to primary school together, and then later, yes. Do you know there was a mid-credit scene? I missed it.
Mid.
There was a mid-credit scene.
So that means between...
Between, I don't know what. Do you know what the scene was?
I'm going to tell you now.
Okay, I'm going to tell you first because I know it already. So Cruella sent two Dalmatians to Anita, and then, you know, the Baroness, her lawyer, she fired her lawyer in the
yeah,
in,
that's
during
right.
the film. He is the guy that is going to marry Anita. So that's that they brought in both characters in this film. And Cruella sends them both Dalmatians. So what they're implying is that Cruella is actually the reason that they got married, because she was the one that sent them the Dalmatians. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I see what you're
yes.
saying.
Yes. Ryan's looking at it right now. So what happened was the Baroness had the three Dalmatians. I think they then had puppies. Then she sent the puppies through to the two of them. What doesn't make sense though is then she goes and wants to, if the next story is a if the cartoon is a continuation, why does she want to now kill the dogs that she sent as a gift?
She goes mad.
Yeah, that is true. And she did say she was mad.
With a slight mad. The slight mad. You know, did you pick up in the movie that a lot of the Dalmatians
were fake?
It was digital.
Yes. This is the funny part. Did you watch B-roll footage? There were three Dalmatians, but every time I saw them, their tails were wagging. Like, they looked like the happiest, sweetest dogs. I was like, yeah, they definitely, that's why they had to go and digitalize them, because these were not vicious dogs at all.
But then, like, the actual breed, the dogs, are they generally that?
They say around children they aren't good. That's what I've heard.
They aren't good around children.
Children, yeah.
So
they're not vicious dogs, but they're not really good with children. That's what I've heard. But yeah,
okay.
You could see, so the three Dalmatians, especially when they were doing their vicious parts, those
probably,
were digital.
Yeah, the chasing,
yes.
the running.
But then there were also, yeah. there was Wink, obviously. How funny was it when they dressed him up as a rat? That was very funny.
The
little
dog,
Wink.
The small dog,
yes.
right?
But there was also another part where, so Cruella or Estella, whatever, her dog was named Buddy. There was also parts where that dog, you could see it wasn't real.
Yeah.
I almost wondered why they didn't get it better than they did it. I feel like they could have done it better.
Well, it's either they didn't want to put the dog under that much strain, or they couldn't get the dog to do the thing that it needed to do, or
no,
didn't
I'm
look
saying
right. Or
the CG dog. I feel like they could have done a better job with the CG dog.
Yeah, well, you know.
Budget. Nah, 100 to 200 million. Now we know why.
Yeah, well, you know.
So the Baroness was played by Emma Thompson, who did a brilliant job. Do you know that Nicole Kidman, Charlize Theron, if we're going to pronounce her surname like that, Julianne Moore and Demi Moore were all considered for the role of the Baroness. But I think Emma Thompson was the perfect choice for it. She really did that role well.
I can imagine Charlize doing.
But it would have been like the Snow White and the Huntsman. Yeah. I suppose it could. She could have pulled it off, but it wouldn't have been the same.
Yeah, I think it would have been cool seeing my great aunt.
Wow.
My aunt, a couple families away, you know. Yeah, playing as yes.
Yeah, as the Baroness.
Yes, that's it.
Wow. One of the things that was very good in this film were the costumes. The costumes were, they were amazing. Costume designer Jenny Beaven, who was hired because the director saw her work on Mad Max Fury Road. So she did the costume design there.
You see?
And
Charlize, she should have.
Yeah, I was thinking the same.
She probably had a scheduling problem.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. It was my birthday party.
Oh, wow. That Charlize had to go to.
She had to come to my birthday party. Yeah.
Ryan, how could you take her away?
Just so you guys know, she's South African.
Yeah, that's why Ryan's relating
she's
her.
From Boksburg. That's just down the road, yeah.
Far down the road, but it is down the road.
Yeah.
So the amount of costumes created was 277. Costumes were made for the principal cast. So that means like the main, so there's not, that's excluding extras, etc. 277 costumes, including 47 just for Cruella. 47 costumes. And those costumes were very good.
Well, it's a Disney movie. They usually are very.
But this one was.
Extravagant.
This one was fashion because think about it. She got into fashion.
Exactly.
Like someone even said this film reminded them of the Devil Wears Prada. It was just a lot more dark and evil, which I agree. But I must be honest, the fashion for me in this was better than the fashion in The Devil Wears Prada. Like I thought the fashion was, they did very, very well from a fashion. Ryan, you are not going to believe this.
I probably will.
No, you won't.
Tell me it's going to shock me.
Emma Stone was a few months pregnant during filming.
Yeah, I saw.
What? No, you're lying. Act shocked. Act shocked. Go. Gasp.
Few months pregnant or few weeks pregnant?
Months. Gasp. Do it.
So is that where the CG went from the dogs?
May
That to do some
work,
chopping,
some
chopping away.
Like with Scarlett Johansson in Avengers Age of Ultron.
You see?
I was shocked though. I was like, what? So she was a few months pregnant.
And she broke her shoulder.
That is true. She had a broken shoulder. Oh, no. That was before
the filming.
Was postponed. So shame. She went from a broken shoulder to pregnancy.
Maybe she was shocked because of the pregnancy. She was like, I can't. What should I say? Tell them I broke my shoulder.
And then, no, I think she broke her shoulder and I think she was pregnant, but that I was shocked. I was like, what? That is crazy. The release date of this film was May 28, 2021. Yes. And so Disney brought out a film called Descendants. So what it was about was they took the children of all of the, you know, the Disney fairy tale stories. So Cinderella, Snow White, Beauty and the Beast, all of those, Aladdin. So in Descendants, it was a live action film. What they did was the children of, whether it was the villains or whatever, they made a whole story about the, it's a proper Disney film, if I can put it like that, you know, a Disney Channel film. So it's not like I remember watching it when I was growing up. But in the film, one of the actors was a guy named Cameron Boyce. Now he played the son of Cruella de Vil. So in Descendants, he was the son of Cruella de Vil. However, he actually died, tragically. He was only 20 or 19 when he died. He had an epileptic fit in his sleep and died. And the film release date, which was May 28th, it was released on his birthday where he would have been 22 years old.
Oh, shame.
So they actually, and I think, I'm pretty sure that they tried to, I think they did match it up, but he actually would have turned, so he just would have turned 22 years old, but he passed away. I remember it was a shock because he had been in previous Disney Channel series and stuff like that. He'd done quite a bit of acting in Disney and that, but he passed away. Now, this, I'm so confused. I was so confused when I saw this. So, in the film, you know there were the two dogs, other than the Dalmatians. There was Wink and Buddy.
That's right.
Right? And Buddy, there was two dogs that played him. There was the puppy that played him, and then the older dog that played, right? The puppy, right? The puppy's name is his actual name is Gizmo. So, the dog's name in real life is Gizmo, right? So, they've said this is his second Disney film. The first one was Beauty and the Beast. So he played the dog as well in Beauty and the Beast, right? This isn't the shocking part. This isn't the weird part.
Okay.
I'm just giving you background. So Gizmo has been in two Disney films, Cruella and Beauty and the Beast. When I clicked on Gizmo, right? Because I'm thinking, who's Gizmo? I didn't know. They didn't put the information in.
He's even got a Wikipedia page already.
He's got an IMDb page.
When
you click on his page, this is what it says. Gizmo is an actor known for Beauty and the Beast and Cruella. What? Gizmo is an actor. Are they now giving the title actor to dogs?
Wait, what?
On IMDb, which is a proper film, it gives you trivia, it gives you info, it gives you everything, parents' guides, everything. Now it's saying, it's calling dogs actors. Like, so, not Gizmo is a trained dog. For me...
So that means that my dog has a chance.
To be an actor.
Well, yeah, because technically they're not actors. They're trained,
yes.
They're trained, and then they just train them to... If they need them to sit.
I'm so confused.
Whatever.
No, Gizmo is an actor. They don't even mention that it's a dog. The only thing that gave away that he was a dog was his picture. His profile picture.
So then my question is then that are there other animals? Is this like how often do animals replay parts in movies?
That's a good question, actually.
Is it when they replay? That's what I was thinking. When you start off, I'm like, wait, what? Wait, the dog was in more than one film. That's interesting. And then the other question that I thought of is, okay, so in the movie, if you have to call the dog over and now you're not calling him Gizmo, you're calling him
Buddy.
Buddy. Did they train the dog to respond to Buddy?
No, isn't it they have the trainer will be somewhere on set close by.
Behind, and you'll be going.
Yes. And then there's that click thing that they do where they've got a device that clicks and then they train the dog to respond to clicks.
To the click.
So if they...
I've seen it.
Yes. So like two clicks, for example, the dog knows that's sit. So if they click it twice, the dog will sit. If they click it three times, the dog will run. If they click it three times, the dog will roll over and die. If they click it four, like that, I know they have that click. That's okay. One of the methods that they use in training the dog.
Oh, all right.
So I don't know the method that they used in this film, but I know that they would have had the trainer on site, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm shocked.
Interesting.
I'm shook. Why are we calling dogs actors?
That is very interesting.
Like I feel, I was just like, what? Because at first, when I saw Gizmo, I'm like, who's Gizmo? What person name is Gizmo and what did they do in Beauty and the Beast? Then when I clicked and went into Gizmo's IMDb personal page, I found out, oh, Gizmo is a dog. That he's an actor.
I don't see Gizmo in the cast list.
That's the thing. So why is IMDb calling the dog an actor? Like, Gizmo is a trained dog that, do you understand what I'm saying? That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. But no, Gizmo is an actor. This is intense.
I've just Googled Gizmo the dog.
This is shocking.
Right. Okay.
So apparently now dogs can be actors. They have taken the title of actor. Yeah. But honestly, I personally feel like Cruella was a letdown. That, in my personal opinion, it could have that from a film perspective, you know, it was cool. I even saw someone said, I mean, it was a 2-hour film. They said the way the pacing of the film was good. You know, it kept moving along. They said that the director has a very fast style, so things move very quickly. But even though that happened, you kind of didn't get lost. But I must be honest, I was just disappointed that they went evil with it, because they went blatantly evil with it. That is my final thoughts on the film.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But now on to better things, Ryan. A Quiet Place 2 is in South African cinemas. To all you South Africans out there, A Quiet Place 2 is in cinemas.
Great stuff.
So you can go and watch this 97-minute horror in cinemas. I'm looking forward to going to do that.
And if there's other things that you need to do, well, that you need to listen to, you'd be fine. So if you want to watch the movie and listen to something else.
It's not that silent.
You would not miss anything.
But this one, I know that they're going like, they're showing the background on like, what, but I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking very forward to this film.
So in cinemas now, right?
In cinemas now.
Where's that? New Metro?
New Metro. Yes.
Brilliant.
So don't go watch Cruella in cinemas. It's not worth it. Go watch A Quiet Place 2.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then we will be back with a film review.
And bring your laptop closer to your face. Unless you are far-sighted, you
Ryan, if cinemas close down for good, I blame you.
What?
Because it's people like you with your Mac screens close to your faces that close the cinemas.
I am far-sighted, I should have, you know. So it doesn't really work that well for me.
That's why. Wow. So this has been the Movie Show Right Show on Active FM.
With your favorite, well, it is your favorite ORSPS, but you know, your hosts.
Your hosts,
yes.
Your Active FM Movie Show hosts.
Myself, Ryan.
And me, Sash.
Until next week.
Peace out.
Cheers.
Like what you're listening to?
Follow us on Gab and Twitter at ActiveFM,
Instagram at ActiveFM777, and Facebook at /ActiveFM.